The killing of Cecil the Lion caught the world's attention, but it also brought up a question. Why were we so worried about the wildlife in Zimbabwe? What about the people? The country's economy is a disaster, its agricultural industry has collapsed, and the government of Robert Mugabe is accused of committing human rights abuses. Joining us from Johannesburg, South Africa, is David Smith, the Guardian's Africa correspondent who was in Zimbabwe earlier this summer. David, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
What are things like for the people of Zimbabwe right now in 2015?
Extremely tough. The economy has never really recovered from around the year 2000, when there were chaotic land invasions to seize mainly white-owned farms. And many would say there definitely needed to be reform, but it was very poorly executed. And the economy about sort of halved in size. And then in around 2007, we saw record hyperinflation and just sort of ridiculous sums with many, many zeros after them. And there was a mini recovery of sorts, but it's dipped again in the last couple of years. And even in recent days and weeks, there have been some more massive job losses, including, I think, just now at the state broadcaster and other industries. So there's a lot of people really struggling to make ends meet, really having to innovate. And, last time I was there, a newspaper headline said Zimbabwe has become a nation of street vendors, because there are just so many people now literally sitting on sidewalks just trying to sell small items. The informal economy is getting bigger all the time, because the formal economy has failed people, and the official unemployment rate is often estimated at 90%.
And you put the blame for the problems there at the feet of the leader, Robert Mugabe.
Well, the buck stops here at the president's desk, I suppose. Yes, more than anyone, the man who has been leader of Zimbabwe now for 35 years since independence, and is the oldest leader in the world, age 91. He's the only leader that independent Zimbabwe has ever known, and it's really been shaped in his image, from all the early triumphs to the great education system, which I'm sure he was happy to take credit for. He must carry the can for what's happened since. Some really dismal economic management by his government. And of course, widespread allegations of human rights abuses and electoral fraud. And, last time I was there, I spoke to some of his allies who basically, now they've fallen out with Mugabe, confessed to me that, yes, the 2008 election was rigged, was manipulated by violent conduct, and that Robert Mugabe's rival, Morgan Tsvangirai, should have won that election fair and square.
Well, let's go back to when Mugabe took power and how all this began. That was back in 1980. How did he rise to the leadership in Zimbabwe?
He was part of the rebel movement, if you like, against white minority rule in what was then Rhodesia. This was, the 1960s, many African countries were gaining independence, and Mugabe, served his time and was sent to jail for about 10 years, having returned from Ghana. And he worked his way up inside the ZANU party. Some say that even then, actually, he was quite cold and calculating in the way he manipulated the power structures to reach the top. But as we saw in the rest of Africa, independence was ultimately inevitable, and Mugabe's party won the first election. And in April 1980, he became prime minister, and with a tremendous amount of goodwill from the West, he was seen as their man. He was very erudite, brilliant intellectually. Seemed to also have a love of British culture, and to this day, he still talks reverently about the Queen. Hmm. So, the UK regarded him as a man they could do business with.
And it wasn't until 2000 that Mugabe pushed the white farmers off of their land.
Indeed, the first decade or so was seen as something of a success story. But really, by the mid to late 90s, things were starting to turn sour. Zimbabwe got sucked into a war in Congo that was ruinous, and war veterans started to rebel over their pensions. There were a lot of economic pressures, And also the rise of the Movement for Democratic Change as a genuine contender at the ballot box. So all these things came together, along with actually the election of Tony Blair and the Labour Party in the UK, who very quickly said they were basically washing their hands of Zimbabwe and had no intention of providing compensation for land. Hmm. And Mugabe still seethes about that to this day and despises Tony Blair. So he would say that was a major factor in the decision. Well, you know, there's going to be no compensation, therefore we'll take the land by force.
So now, as you say, Mugabe is 91 years old, and we read about people asking, you know, what's going to happen when the old man goes. What is going to happen when Mugabe is not the president of Zimbabwe anymore?
You know, I've been to Zimbabwe, I think, 10 times now in the last 6 years. And every time I go, I ask pretty much everybody what's going to happen when Robert Mugabe dies. And I'm still waiting for a clear, satisfactory answer from anyone, because this is the ultimate conundrum, the guessing game. Even Zimbabweans who've lived in the country all their lives, maybe who are close to politics, can't really see through the fog. Most of them play down the possibility of a military coup. They don't think that's going to happen. But it's not really clear who will succeed Mugabe or how stable it will be. I mean, he just effectively seemed to tear up the rule book of his own party at its conference last year. He appointed a vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, who may well succeed him. But, you know, a year before that, we all thought it was going to be a lady called Joyce Majuru, who was then unceremoniously dumped. And, of course, there's also a theory that maybe Mugabe's own wife, Grace Mugabe, might step into the breach. And, the worst-case scenario, some predict, is that it will split Mugabe's party down the middle. Both sides have access to weapons. It could turn very nasty and bloody indeed.
David Smith, as we said, you are the Africa correspondent for The Guardian. How does Zimbabwe compare when you look at all the problems in other countries in Africa right now?
In my time doing this, Zimbabwe has probably dropped down the news agenda somewhat. Maybe many of our perceptions internationally are that there's sort of blood running down the streets and it's in perpetual conflict and crisis. I was surprised the first time I went there. It was, it was beautiful sunshine, incredibly sort of warm welcome, friendly people. And life just sort of going on in the city Harare, where every year there's a fantastic international arts festival. As a Western tourist, I think a lot of people get a surprise. They go on wonderful game drives, stay at fabulous hotels. Everything seems relatively peaceful and stable. And indeed, at the last election in 2013, I don't think there was a single death from political violence, which actually compares very, very well with most African countries. Hmm. However, that election, many believe, was very seriously rigged by Mugabe in rural areas where the media is often not present. Certainly still allegations of human rights abuses and intimidation. And although there is an independent press who do publish anti-Mugabe stories, the state media is still firmly under his control, and that's what often reaches people in rural areas. So really the country is something of an enigma. Certainly in an African context, one would have to say, you know, a lot better off right now than the Central African Republic or South Sudan or Northern Nigeria with Boko Haram or, of course, Somalia with Al-Shabaab. You don't get bombs going off in Zimbabwe. You don't get fundamentalist militia groups carrying out massacres. Perhaps the menace and the sadness and the tragedy there is more insidious.
That's David Smith, the Africa correspondent for The Guardian, talking with us about what Zimbabwe is like for the people who live there. Of course, we've spent a lot of time talking about wildlife there after the killing of Cecil the Lion. David, thank you.
Thank you.